Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and had John Lennon lived, he would have celebrated his 70th birthday tomorrow. Tributes to Lennon are planned around the world and certainly here in New York City, where he lived his last years and where, of course, he was assassinated to end his life at such a young age. And tomorrow, a free preview screening of the new film, Lennon NYC, will be shown in Central Park. That film premieres nationally in November on PBS. Tomorrow it'll be at Summer Stage, free to the first 5,500 people who show up. There are other things going on around the city as well. Fans will gather throughout the day at Strawberry Fields in Central Park at West 72nd Street to sing and remember John Lennon, and other things will be going on at private venues. But the documentary, Lennon NYC, looks at John Lennon's intimate relationship with New York City and the time he spent here with his wife, Yoko Ono, and their son, Sean, during the 70s. It includes previously unreleased recordings and footage of John Lennon. Now, coming up in just a few minutes, as we've been telling you, we will have our first ever Brian Lehrer Show, John Lennon's 70th birthday chorus. We have four people lined up, ready to do Give Peace a Chance. So stand by for that. But joining me first is Michael Epstein, who directed Lennon NYC. Welcome, Michael.
Good morning.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Even if you're not in our four-person chorus, what's John Lennon's legacy for you? What mark did he leave on New York City or the world? Maybe some of our older listeners want to call in and tell younger listeners what John Lennon meant in his time, or younger listeners want to call in and say, why do you still care about John Lennon even though you're growing up decades after he was born or died? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your John Lennon 70th birthday tributes to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Michael, why Lennon's years in New York City for your documentary?
Well, you know, New York just is the perfect lens, I thought, for examining John's life post-Beatles. There's so many facets to John Lennon. There's obviously the musician, there's the activist, but there's the house husband. And, you know, when you use New York as the framing device, as the lens, everything came into focus in just the right way and in just the right proportion. So we could talk about the music, we could talk about the fight with the Nixon administration, the deportation case, and just as organically talk about his receding from public view and raising Sean and being a house husband and then coming back with Double Fantasy, which is a real New York album. And, you know, it just fit perfectly. It felt right. And, you know, also, if you think of John Lennon, Liverpool obviously comes to mind for obvious reasons. But other than that, it's New York. You know, he really became a New Yorker, and his story is in many ways ours. He's really an immigrant. And at the time when we're debating a lot of immigration things, I thought it would be helpful to remind ourselves John's story.
So here's a clip from the film in which John talked about why he loved New York.
One of my biggest kicks is just going out to eat or going to the movies, you know, and doing things I couldn't do when I was, you know, in the middle of the Beatles stuff. And I really get off on that. And occasionally people ask for autograph or just want to shake hands is the coolest one that happens, which is cool with me. And I'm just known enough to keep my ego floating, but unknown enough to get around, which is nice.
Okay. I've been a follower of you for a long time.
Did you hear that at the end, folks?
Yeah.
At the very end, a woman's voice saying, I followed you around for a long time. So at the end of the clip, Michael, this woman finally catches up with John Lennon and gets his autograph.
He actually walks almost right into her. This was John's last walk in Central Park in I think November of 1980. They were doing it to promote the Double Fantasy album. The audio itself, however, is from John's time at WNEW. In 74 when he was a host on Dennis Elsis's radio show for
an
hour.
The old rock station, NEWFM.
Yeah. Which is great. It's featured quite a bit in the documentary, and John just went on and DJed for an afternoon, did the weather report.
We have that clip. Why don't we just play that clip because it's so much fun. John Lennon doing the weather on NEWFM.
We even have the 4 o'clock temperature readings.
We do? Oh, let's see how hot it is. Temperature is 68. No wonder I'm sweating. Humidity 93, PCT, whatever that is.
Percent?
Oh, why don't they do those little round things? Barometer 30.03 and falling. Oh, disgusting. And somebody said it was the air was unacceptable today, but I accept it. Mostly cloudy with periods of rain this afternoon. High times. Oh, no. Wish it was. High this afternoon and tomorrow in the 70s. Low tonight in the mid-60s. Watch out for it. Monday's outlook, fair and cool, man.
Cool,
great.
Man.
Cool, man. He's great.
He liked to have his fun, as well as, of course, having his serious side. By the way, when is this screening at Summer Stage tomorrow?
The screening tomorrow at Summer Stage is a first-come, first-serve. And the doors, gates, I don't know what you would call them at Summer Stage, they'll open at 6 for the first 5,500 people, and then we'll start at 7. And pleased to announce that we'll have a special guest. Lou Reed will be on hand to introduce the documentary. And then we're broadcasting on November 22nd on the American Masters series on PBS. So,
and you know,
if you can't make Summer Stage.
Is this going to be like Shakespeare in the Park? Are you recommending that people start lining up now if they want to get in tomorrow at 6 p.m.?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lennon in the Park. Lennon in the Park. I mean, it's wonderful to be part of a celebration of John's life, to remember him on his birthday. And, you know, I think everybody at American Masters, everybody with Lennon NYC, just is really happy that we can be a conduit for people to come and gather in Central Park and remember John.
And now, Michael, you are going to be a witness to our own Brian
Lehrer
show.
So happy you're not asking me to sing along. I can just say thank you. I'm happy to sit back and listen.
Hey, we had a political reporter who volunteered and spouted out a few lines from the song a little while ago. So, listeners, if you've been with us through the morning, you know that we are now going to have the first ever Brian Lehrer show, John Lennon's 70th birthday chorus. We have auditioned 4 people who are going to do a verse each and then do the chorus together to John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance. We have karaoke background music for them and everything. So let us welcome these 4 very brave souls: Lauren in Cold Spring, Mauricio in Astoria, Brian in Brooklyn, and Kate in Brooklyn. Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for doing this. All right, now you're all teed up here, right? Lauren, you get the first verse, is that right?
I'm ready to go.
Mauricio, you ready with verse number 2?
Yes, I am.
These lyrics come pretty fast at you in this song. Brian,
your
verse number 3?
I'm rehearsed.
Okay, and Kate in Brooklyn, you're all ready with number 4, right?
Definitely ready.
We are all ears. Here we go.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody's talking about baggies and shaggies and draggies and maddies and raggies and taggies and this-ism, that-ism, ism-ism-ism. All we are saying,
everybody on the chorus,
is give me a chance. All we are saying,
don't fall behind now,
give me a chance.
Group needs a conductor. Okay, second verse.
Everybody's talking about ministers, sinister, banisters and canisters, bishops, rabbis and popeyes, bye-bye-bye-byes.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
One more time. Echo effect. Here comes verse 3.
Double track.
Let me tell you now. Everybody's talking about revolution, evolution, masturbation, flagellation, regulation, integration, mediation, United Nations. Congratulations.
We are saying,
you rock. One more time. Okay, verse 4. Kate, you're up.
Everybody's talking about John and Yoko, Timmy Leary, Rosemary, Tommy Smothers, Bobby Dylan, Tommy Cooper, Derek Taylor, Norman Mailer, Allen Ginsberg, Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare Krishna.
Kate was too good. She's a ringer.
All we are
Yay! Give yourselves a round of applause, guys. Ooh. Way to go. Kate, are you from Liverpool?
No, I'm not, but I've had a lot of years of practicing.
Very good, guys. Okay, do you want to each give a quick moment on what John Lennon meant to you, Kate? Like 10 seconds?
Oh, God, I love the Beatles. I grew up in England, and, you know, my mother kept for years a tea tray where I'd written on the back, Beatles forever, hooray!
Brian?
Well, you know, the eternal question, who is your favorite Beatle, was a no-brainer for me. It was always John Lennon.
Why?
He just had the soul. I always thought that he provided the soul to the group.
Mauricio?
Same here. I grew up with the Beatles with my mom, and John Lennon was always a big hero for me. He inspired me with all the peace in his messages.
And Lauren?
John Lennon died the same year that I was born, and I couldn't agree more. He was completely the soul of the Beatles.
You guys rock. There was not a dry eye in the house.
Well, John would have loved that.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, Michael Epstein.
Yeah, John would have loved that. That was great.
You want to take a few more? Mark in Brooklyn calling in to talk about John Lennon's legacy. Tomorrow would have been his 70th birthday. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I just, you know, John, I didn't have dry eyes, by the way, as well. That was beautiful. Thanks, Brian. You know, I came from Kansas to New York at 17, and I remember going to Cafe Reggio and talking, you know, politics, and then going to the Strand and getting the Albert Goldman Lives of John Lennon, then going to an old record store and finding the nude Lennon and Yoko album, and going to Central Park and Strawberry Fields, and it just the two were just very powerful forces, both New York City and John Lennon. I'm looking now in my living room at the portrait that Richard Avedon did of Lennon. Just powerful stuff, and I think the message lives on. It's really important.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. And you're going to get almost the last word. Michael Epstein, the director of Lennon NYC, which is going to air on television on PBS next month, but it'll be shown at, now let's see, I've got this at Rumsey Playfield. Is that the same
as
Summer Stage?
Yes.
Tomorrow, 7 p.m., doors open at 6. For all I know, the line is forming now.
Go out, get your picnic blanket.
And, of course, there are going to be free events all day tomorrow, sing-alongs, everything else at Strawberry Fields in Central Park. I gather that Yoko Ono was heavily involved in the film, but you chose not to interview either one of the surviving Beatles, Paul or Ringo?
Well, it's funny. Yoko gave us a great interview. She was very generous with her time and obviously gave us access to John's music and stuff. But we did approach Ringo, for example, and he very generously said he would love to, but he didn't remember the 70s, was his comment. So very Ringo.
Never mind the 60s.
Exactly. Paul declined, but it was very generous.
Michael Epstein, thanks a lot.
It was
a great weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy birthday, John.